Good afternoon, good morning, good day, depending on where you're listening from. Welcome to Profit and Beauty. Now, this show was created for salon owners who have decided to start running their salons like a business rather than a hustle. The focus of the show is to help salon owners understand the numbers behind their business so that they can grow and make extraordinary profits. Without this knowledge, it's really hard, if not impossible, for your salon to reach its true potential. My name is Desiree Anderson, and I have 19 years experience as a hairstylist and salon owner. I currently work as a certified public accountant, working mainly with salon owners and hairstylists. My background as a former stylist and salon owner gives me a much better understanding of what our industry professionals need and desire. So if you are a hairstylist or salon owner interested in running your salon like a business, then this show is for you. On the other hand, if you are a hairstylist or salon owner not interested in running your salon like a business, this show may or may not be for you. I just hope you keep listening and maybe something you hear in one of the episodes will make you decide to turn your craft from a hustle into a business that you can scale and grow. So sit back and enjoy this week's episode. So on today's show, I'm going to talk about two areas that I receive a lot of questions on. Number one, what type of legal entity should I choose for my business? And the second question is, should I open a separate bank account for my business? Now, let's start with the first question regarding legal entities. And let me first start by saying that there is no wrong or right choice when it comes to choosing a particular legal type. It's just a matter of your long-term and your short-term goals. So when you have a conversation with your accountant, you know, and you'd let them know what your long-term and short-term goals are, they should be able to guide you into the type of entity that best suits you. So the most common types of legal structures are your sole proprietorship, your single member LLC, your partnership, your multi-member LLC, your S corporation, and your corporation. So starting out with a sole proprietorship, what is a sole proprietor? So a sole proprietor is an individual who decided one day that they're going to start a business. So all they did was wake up one morning and decide, you know what? I think I want to start a business today. You know what? I think I'm going to start a business today. And then they just start operating. Nothing else to do. Now, the only thing that may be required, depending upon what county and what state you live in, you may have to go down to your county and apply for a business license. But that's pretty much it. Outside of that, there is nothing else you have to do as a sole proprietor other than just start your business. And usually by default, most booth renters wind up being sole proprietors because when they decide to start working in a salon and they rent a booth, they just pretty much walk into the salon, ask if there are any booths available, and then they start working and they do nothing else. So by default, they're sole proprietors. Now, a single member LLC is another legal structure. But let me say this, a single member LLC is the exact same thing as a sole proprietor. There is absolutely no difference when it comes to the way you're taxed. So then why do people choose to become LLCs if you're taxed the exact same way as a sole proprietor? Well, some people know the answer to that question and some people don't. Some people just say, I would like to be an LLC because I heard or because someone told me that I should. They may not necessarily know the reason why they want to be an LLC. They just know that I'm starting a business and someone told me that I should become an LLC. So therefore, I want to be an LLC. Now, and then you have others that say, I want to be an LLC because I was told that my assets are protected if I am an LLC. So one of the main differences between a single member LLC and a sole proprietor is the fact that as a single member LLC, your assets, your personal assets are protected if, God forbid, you should ever get sued by a client. For example, let's say you're doing a highlight on a client and, God forbid, her hair falls out. Or if you're doing a relaxer and as you take your client to the shampoo bowl, you're shampooing their hair, the water is going down the drain and so is some of the hair. And even worse, if you should give your client, while doing a relaxer, some kind of third degree burn, I know that's a little bit excessive, but you never know what could happen, some type of burn, she may decide to sue you. Now, if she sues you and she is successful at suing you and she gets a judgment, as a sole proprietor, she can come after your personal assets and she can come after your business assets. There is no distinction. So in addition to getting all of your equipment as a sole proprietor, she takes all of your salon equipment and everything that belongs to the salon. If that doesn't pay off the debt, she can then come after your personal assets. If you have a house, if you have a car, if you have a firstborn child, she has the right to come after those things because you are a sole proprietor and none of your assets are protected. On the other hand, if you are a single member LLC, there is some protection there. Now, before I talk about the type of protection that you would get as a single member LLC, let me say this. I am not an attorney and I don't play one on the radio. So, like I tell all of my clients, I am a CPA and I can tell you what the tax consequences are going to be if you decide to pick a particular form of business. I cannot necessarily tell you what the legal ramifications will be. That is something you would have to discuss with your attorney. That being said, I am aware that as a single member LLC or as an LLC in general, technically speaking, your personal assets are protected if a client should sue you based upon something that you did while you were working. So, if that same client whose hair got rinsed down the drain, if she decides to sue you and she gets a judgment, then as an LLC, technically speaking, she can only come after what the salon owns. She can only come after your business assets. She does not have access to your home, your car, nor your firstborn child. So that's one of the advantages of being an LLC. Now, I say all that to say this. There's something that's called piercing the corporate veil. What does that mean? That means that even though your assets are protected as a limited liability company, if you pierce the corporate veil, that takes away the protection that you ordinarily would have. Now, what is one way and the most common way that people pierce the corporate veil? It's by commingling funds. Usually, as a single member LLC, you are required by law to have a separate bank account from your personal. If you use your personal account as your business account, or if you use your business account as your personal account, you have automatically pierced the corporate veil, which means if you should get sued, God forbid, somebody can come after everything. So you're going to have the attorney to the defendant telling the judge, "Your Honor, it has come to our knowledge that Miss Anderson has pierced the corporate veil." And the judge is going to say, "Well, tell me, how did she do that?" And you're going to say, "Well, she had one bank account that she happened to be using for both business and personal." Well, guess what? All of a sudden, the so-called protection that I had has been washed down the drain with the hair of the client, which means that now I'm no longer protected and that client can come after both my business and my personal assets. Okay, so I've said that, but please speak to an attorney before you make these decisions. They are the ones that are going to tell you the type of protection you have, because not only is the piercing the corporate veil an issue, there are other issues as well when it comes to the protection that you think you may have. And these are things that I can't really talk about because I'm not an attorney. So I'd rather you go speak with an attorney so you can make sure that you are truly protecting your personal assets when you decide to become a limited liability company. Okay, so the next type of entity would be the partnership. A partnership is when more than one person decides to come together and open up a salon. So if you decide to open up a salon with your husband or with your child, with your mother, your father, your brother, your long lost cousin, whomever, if it's more than one of you, then all of a sudden, by default, you have a partnership. Now then we have the multi-member LLC, which is the exact same thing as a partnership, except once again, you have gone down to the state and you have applied to become a limited liability company, which means now that you're not just a partnership, you are a multi-member LLC. Now, if you decide to open up a salon and it is more than one of you, and you just wind up being a partnership and not a multi-member LLC, that means that everybody within the partnership, even if it's five of you, everybody's personal assets are at risk. If you are a general partner in a partnership, your personal assets are at risk. So if you decide to become an LLC, then you now are a multi-member LLC, which means that you have that same protection given to limited liability companies. So all of the different members are now protected based on the LLC designation versus being a regular partnership where your assets are not protected. Now, I would like to also say this, because I was listening to a show and somebody who owned a salon called in, and she owned a salon with three other people. And she was saying that the way they operate is everybody, all the partners, all four of them, make their money and keep their money. And at the end of the week, they all just contribute to the rent, they contribute to the expenses of the salon. And that's how they operate. And that is absolutely incorrect when it comes to how a partnership is supposed to operate. The way a partnership operates, in other words, you don't get to pick how you want to pay yourself when it comes to being a partnership or when it comes to being any other type of entity. There are rules and laws that are required. For a partnership, the requirement is that the partnership itself has an account. All the money that is made by all four partners, plus anybody else that works in the salon, whether you have booth renters or if you have commission stylists or W-2 stylists, everything is required to go into the partnership account. So if the partnership has one account, all that money goes into the partnership account. If the partnership has more than one account, then the money goes into the account that is designated for the partnership. So let's say, for example, you have four partners and each partner makes $1,000 a week. The entire $4,000 is supposed to go into the bank account. And then you pay the bills from the partnership account. So let's assume the bills are $1,000 for that month. So once all the bills are paid, then the partners pay themselves through something called either a guaranteed payment or a distribution or both. So whatever your agreement is, you pay yourself accordingly. Now, talking about agreements, it's very important that a partnership, if you are a partnership, that you have a partnership agreement. Because if for some reason the partnership should be dissolved and someone decides to sue, the judge is going to make his decision based upon what the agreement says. So if the partnership agreement says one thing, that's how the judge is more than likely going to decide. And not only that, if you have problems within the partnership, you can look to the partnership agreement to either solve your problems or to make your point. So it's important as a partnership that there is some type of agreement out there that you follow, okay? So once again, as a partnership, everybody is required to put their money into the partnership bank account. All the bills are then paid from that account, and then whatever is left over is either distributed to the partners via a distribution or via guaranteed payments, depending upon what the agreement is. So the next legal entity is the S corporation. Should I open up my salon as an S corporation? And the answer is, it depends. Now, before you decide whether or not you'd like to open up your salon as an S corporation, it's really important that you speak with an accountant and get some advice, because an S corporation has a lot of compliance requirements. Not only that, you want to make sure that the numbers make sense, because if you're at a certain threshold, then being an S corporation is not necessarily beneficial to you, because it's more expensive to run an S corporation. There's so many more requirements, that so many more compliance requirements, that you want to make sure that it makes sense financially, because there's no point you adding this extra layer of compliance if it's not really doing you any good. So you want to make sure that the numbers absolutely make sense. Another thing, if you are an S corporation, you are required to have payroll for the business. Everybody who works within the business is required to be on payroll, including you, the owner/shareholder. If you're an S corporation, you are considered a shareholder of the business. So if you are the only owner, you are a 100% shareholder. If there are two of you, depending upon what the share, how the shares are divided, he or she may be a 50% shareholder, you may be a 50% shareholder. But as long as you actually work in the business, so if you are a owner operator, you have to pay yourself as an employee of the S corporation. So that means that you have to be on payroll as well as your other employees. So in addition to filing a corporate tax return as an S corporation, you are now required to file payroll returns. Payroll returns consist of your 941s, your 940s, your Department of Labor returns, amongst others. So you have about four or five different types of tax returns that you have to file if you have payroll. And to make matters even more, I won't say complicated, but just more irritating, you have to file these returns either quarterly or monthly. Okay, so this is just an extra amount of compliance. So in addition to filing all those other returns, now you're having to file returns on a monthly basis and then some on a quarterly basis. So before you decide to go the S corporation route, you want to definitely make sure that it makes sense. Now, as I mentioned earlier, the S corporation has to file an 1120 tax return, which is a separate return from the actual shareholders. When it comes to a sole proprietor only has to file one tax return, which is the 1040. All of the business and profits that come from the salon, whether it be from the actual operator or if you are a sole proprietor who owns a salon, who has people that work in the salon, all of that income goes on your personal tax return. It goes on the Schedule C section, the profit and loss section of your personal tax return. So you're only filing one tax return. Same thing for a single member LLC, you're only filing one tax return. A partnership, on the other hand, has to file its own return. So the partnership has its own tax return. And that's why, as I mentioned earlier, all of the money that comes into the business if you are a partnership has to go into one account. Because when you file the tax return, one of the questions is what was the gross income of the partnership and what was the expenses of the partnership? Well, if each individual keeps their own money and then just throws money into the pot to pay for expenses, then that the tax return, you can't answer those questions. So everything has to go into one account, and then all of that information is then transferred onto the partnership return. That's where all of the income and expenses go. And also the partnership return is also going to show all of the guaranteed payments and the distributions that each partner received during that year. And then of course, the multi-member LLC, exact same thing as a partnership. You file a partnership return, no different there. And as I mentioned, the S corporation, it also has its own return. Also with the C corporation also has its own personal, its own standalone tax return. If you, and honestly speaking, most of my clients and most of the salons that I deal with, none of them are C corporations. I can't think of any reason why a small salon would want to go the C corporation route. Now, there could be some reasons why one would want to be a C corporation, but if I had someone come to me and say, I'm a salon owner and I'd like to be a C corporation, then we're going to have to sit down and have a very long conversation as to why you would like to be a C corporation. So I'm not going to talk too much about the C corporation other than the fact that it is, once again, like an S corporation. It's a standalone entity and it has its own tax return. And everybody that works for the C corporation has to be an employee and therefore receive a W-2. Now, one thing about the C corporation that really kind of sucks is something called double taxation. So if you decide to become a C corporation, you are going to be taxed twice. Because when the C corporation creates their tax return, the profits on the tax return from the C corporation is taxed. And the income is taxed the second time when it's distributed to the shareholders. So unlike an S corporation, where the profits of the salon are passed through to the shareholders and taxed only once on the shareholder's tax return, a C corporation's profits are taxed twice, once at the corporate level and once at the shareholder/owner level. So that's a summary of the most common legal structures. But once again, before you decide on a particular structure, I suggest that you speak with an accountant so you can understand how that structure is being taxed. You can also understand how you are required to pay yourself based upon your legal structure. And then also speak with an attorney to find out what types of liabilities you have and how you can protect yourself if you are ever sued. No matter what type of legal entity you choose, from sole proprietorship to C corporations, every entity type is required to pay quarterly estimated taxes throughout the entire year. Now, C corporations pay estimated taxes on a corporate level. Sole proprietors and partners of a partnership pay their quarterly taxes on an individual level. S corporations remit payroll withholdings quarterly and sometimes monthly, depending on their setup. And remember, picking the right type of entity for your business based on how you run your business can make a huge difference in how much money you can save at tax time. Now, to answer the second question about whether a salon owner or even a booth renter should open a separate bank account for their business, the short answer is yes. Actually, yes is the only answer. Now, outside of what I discussed earlier about losing your personal asset protection status if you commingle funds, meaning if you use one bank account for both business and personal funds, it's just plain good practice to keep business and personal funds separate. Also, one other thing I didn't mention earlier is that not only are LLC owners at risk of losing their personal asset protection rights if they commingle funds, so are corporations. So just keep that in mind. Now, having a separate bank account is going to keep you much, much more organized. Now, you're definitely going to pay less in taxes because you can see exactly what you can deduct rather than missing certain deductions because you can't tell if the expense was a personal expense or a business expense. Now, also, you can measure your business's performance much easier because you don't have to go through your bank statement line by line by line, trying to separate business and personal transactions. Also, having a business bank account is going to save you time and money if you ever have to create an income statement. For some reason, sometimes hair salons or even booth renters have to create income statements for certain things. They could be trying to get a loan, they could be trying to refinance a loan, and the loan officer or the lender, whomever they're dealing with, may want to see income statements. I can't tell you how many times I've dealt with clients who wind up paying me much, much more than they ordinarily would have if they had provided me with clean bank statements with only business transactions, where I didn't have to go in and try to start separating business transactions from personal transactions. That could be a really arduous job. But that being said, it's like pulling teeth sometimes to get clients to use a separate bank account. Also, another advantage of having a business account is that you can actually use your business bank account, or your business bank statements, to track your business's profitability and cash flow. Because just looking at the bank statement, if it's only business information that's on there, you can see exactly how much money came in, you can see how much money left, you can see the purpose of the expenses. Also, you can determine if the deposits were actually business or if some of the deposits were transfers, because sometimes we have to reinvest in our company. We may not have enough money to pay bills or whatever the case may be. So we may have to deposit some of our personal funds into our business accounts so that we can actually meet payroll or pay expenses or just whatever the case may be. I can think of 1,000 reasons why having a separate business bank account is a good thing. Now, not to mention if you ever get audited by the IRS or the state. Now, if you ever get audited by the state or the IRS and you hand them bank statements that are used for both personal and business, you are definitely going to get the side eye from the auditor. And he or she will most certainly look at your particular audit a little bit harder than he or she would have if you had provided them with bank statements that were strictly used for business. Because now they have to try to decipher whether or not you took expenses that were personal. Because if you're commingling funds, I don't care how good you are, if you flip through those bank statements months after the transaction actually happened, you're not going to remember what exactly it was that you purchased. So then the problem becomes, are you deducting only business expenses, or are you somehow sneaking in personal expenses as a deduction? Now, when I say sneaking in, I'm not necessarily saying it's on purpose, but just by design, if you commingle your funds, more than likely you're going to accidentally deduct something that was on the personal side. So if an auditor is looking at that, and they're seeing that you're using a bank statement for both business and personal, they're definitely going to dig a whole lot harder at your particular audit. And I can almost guarantee you, or I shouldn't say guarantee you, but I can almost tell you that it's not going to be good for you. Because I actually used to be an auditor, and I know that there are certain things that I look for. And most definitely, when I was auditing a person who had bank statements that were used for both business and personal matters, well, that was a whole different thing. I mean, under those circumstances, I definitely pulled out a magnifying glass just to make sure that things were what they were supposed to be. Well, that's all I have time for today. I would like to thank each and every one of you for taking the time to listen to today's show. Now, if you are a salon owner or a hairstylist, and you would like to be a guest on the show to talk about any issues that you might be facing, or issues that you have faced in the past, or even if you want to talk about your success stories in the hopes of being able to help other beauty professionals become as successful as you are, please feel free to reach out to me at 404-300-3175 or at Desiree@AndersonAccounting3.com. Once again, the phone number is 404-300-3175. Email address is Desiree@AndersonAccounting3.com. Have a great day, everyone, and I'll talk to you next time.